Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CMN Momentum 2020 Online is the unique event for ministry-minded Catholics. Join us July 15th and 16th and jumpstart your good work for God. This two-day event offers best practice conference presenters and a virtual trade show. Also included are film screenings, music guests, and even a pro-life voter town hall. CMN is where Catholic businesses and nonprofits, leaders and volunteers, are empowered with practical hope and help during these hard times. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register today. Your Catholic organization can join Catholic Marketing Network so you and four members of your team can attend Momentum 2020 for free. In addition to free access, a $75 CMN membership provides year-round benefits for Catholic schools, nonprofits, church fundraising teams, retailers, and more. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register, and get ready to build professional and personal momentum.
I want to talk about this remarkable little phenomenon that I uncovered this week. I guess I was reminded of it this week, that when two people can hear the same thing, they still walk away with different understandings of it. A couple of years ago, there was this sound clip that made its way around social media and the internet, and it completely divided people. It was a single word, and people heard it one of two ways. And you could be sitting right next to somebody on the same device, listen to it, and hear two different words. We're going to bring that sound clip back right now and play it for you. And we're all online together today. I just want you to add into the chat what word you hear when you hear this clip. Let's listen to it now.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right. So what word did you hear? If you're with somebody right now, ask them what word they heard as well. And go ahead and add it in the chat. Did you hear Laurel or did you hear Yanny? Because people hear one or the other. Now, this sound clip is just a single word, but it was on social media. It was on talk shows. People talked about it for at least a couple of weeks when it first came out. And when we come to Mass, we hear far more than just a single word. We hear all the readings, all the message, and it can really come across differently. In fact, I would venture to say no two people walk out of a Mass with the same understanding. Even though we hear the same readings, the same message, we have a different interpretation of it. But even if we interpret things differently, there's great power in the words and the story that we're hearing, because stories really shape us. They help us form our worldview. When we're young, we hear Aesop's fables and nursery rhymes, and they teach us manners and morals. And then as we grow older, we start to read classic novels and things from history. And as we crack those books open, we learn about people and priorities. Stories, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, those stories can rouse us from our routine. They surprise and reorient us. Stories can even change our lives. Mass is a story too. It's a story that we hear every week. And what is that story? Well, it depends really on what you're listening for, because we all come with different ears to hear what is said Mass. And just because we're hearing it doesn't mean that we're listening to it. Hearing is a passive exercise, but listening is active. So when you come to Mass, what are you listening for? Are you listening for inspiration, for direction, for the words of Jesus, for what the challenge is going to be that week? What are you listening for? What should you be listening for? Because we can all walk away hearing different things, but whether you hear Laurel or Yanni, what's most important is not what you hear, but how you listen. It's not what you hear, but how you listen. And if you've been listening with us the last few weeks, thanks. Thanks for joining us. We're in the third week of this message series all about the Catholic Mass that we're calling It's a Mystery to Me. First week, we went over how Jesus meets us in the Mass. And then we talked about the four places that Christ is especially present, in the people, in the priest, in the Eucharist, and in the Word. And then last week, we did our Catholic warm-up through the introductory rites of Mass so that we could align our hearts and our minds and our bodies in the same direction as we prayed together. And in those introductory rites, we really say three things. We say, I'm sorry, thank you, and let's pray. So now that we've warmed up, we're ready to go to this next portion of the Mass. And this portion is where we hear our story. It's called the Liturgy of the Word. And that word, liturgy, means the work of the people. So this is the first time in Mass that we have taken a seat, that we're going to be seated for a little while. And that feels like a passive position. When we're at the end of a long day of work, all we want to do sometimes is to sit down, to get off of our feet. But we're meant to be working during this time. It's the work of the people. So what work are we doing? Well, we are being receptive. Being seated is a position of receptivity. So we want to be receptive to what God has to say to us during this time. We want to be listening well. Most of us have had that experience of being around somebody who is an incredible listener. And that person, when they listen to you, they make you feel like nothing else that they could hear at that point would be more important than what you're saying to them. They have given you their complete attention. That's the kind of listening that we're after. So how do we become better listeners? Well, before we get to how to listen, it helps to know what we're listening to. And that's what I want to talk about. When I want to know what I'm listening to, if I'm at a play, I open the program. If I'm reading a book, I open the table of contents. It gives me an idea of the breakdown of the story. So we're going to crack the book open right now to find out what we're listening to, kind of like looking at the table of contents. And the first thing to know is that in this time of the Mass, we're listening to the Bible. The Bible is really coming to life in the Mass in a lot of ways. We hear Scripture not only in the readings and the message that's inspired by those readings, but we hear it in the prayers. We hear it in the responses and all of the symbols that we have in the Eucharist. All of those things come from our scriptures. And the Bible is a book that's been compiled for us. It's our story, and it was revealed to specific people at specific periods of time throughout history. It's 73 books composed by 40 authors over thousands of years, and then it was compiled as one work in the 4th and 5th century. It's God's revelation to us. And when we hear it in Mass, we hear four readings from the Bible. We typically think, oh, it's three, but it's actually four. So when we're in the Liturgy of the Word, first we hear from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the time before Jesus. It's the history and the wisdom of God's people and God's interaction with us. There is one period of the year where we hear from the book of Acts in the first reading, but for the most part, it's the Old Testament. And then we hear the thing that we often forget is Scripture, which is the responsorial psalm. And that is a collection of 150 poems and songs that are meant to express emotion toward God. So we sing this when we do the psalm. Next, we hear the New Testament reading. And the New Testament is the time after Jesus' life when the new church was being established in the book of Acts, and then all of these letters that were written by early Christians to talk about how to live well in following Christ. So that's the New Testament. And then we hear from one of the four Gospels. And this is kind of a high point of the Liturgy of the Word. We sing Alleluia, we stand for this, and we hear about the life and the teachings of Jesus from either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's the good news. That's what the gospel means. So these four books, these four sections we hear from, these four readings, come from a cycle of readings that goes for 3 years. It's called the lectionary. And we get through most of the Bible by doing that lectionary over those 3 years before we cycle back around and begin again. And the Bible really is our story. It's not just a mix of stories. We realize that it's our story because the same God that created Adam and Eve was the God that created you and me. It's our story, and we realize that because all these experiences that these real people had in Scripture relate and parallel the experiences that we have in our life. And we realize that it's our story because we see the history of our church that helps us believe. And most of all, we realize that it's our story because Jesus came and died for you and me. So it's not just a bunch of stories that we're hearing. It is our story. And our story continues with the message. The Catholic term for this message from the priest that he preaches after the gospel is called the homily. A homily is a discourse or conversation. It's different from other forms of speech. It's meant to be acted on. And it determines the direction of the people and the parish. It can make or break your experience of church. We believe that it can even change your life. Now, just for a moment, I'd like to talk about how much we believe in the power of the message and how much work we put into it. I'd like to just peel back the curtain and talk about what our message process is at Nativity. It starts with a 9-person message team, and that team gets together every Monday, and we look back at the message that's passed and evaluate it, and we look forward to the messages that are to come. And so that same 9-person message team goes off-site with a couple more people, about a dozen of us. Once a year, for 2 days, we're off-site talking about the message series for the coming year. It's one of the most fun meetings, and we walk away from that knowing what our message series themes are going to be. We don't have it all planned out, but we have a good idea what the year is going to look like. And the inspiration behind any message first comes from the Scripture and what those readings look like. But then it also comes from what we think you, our people, need to hear, what we want to share with you about God's word. And it comes from the events that are going on in our world. Sometimes we pivot and just talk about the big things that are happening around us. And it last comes from the lived experience that you have every day. We want it to relate to your lives. So that's our inspiration. Week to week, the message looks a little bit like this. Tom from our staff, our associate to the pastor, it starts with him. He writes the message outlines for a series, and he's the one that drafts the first version of a message. And he loves a blank page, so that works great because Father Michael loves to edit. He's a wordsmith. He loves to integrate his stories and put his voice to it. So Tom writes the first draft, and Father Michael is the editor. That's part of our secret sauce. It's what's worked for us. It's what worked week to week. It's how they've written their books. Now, during the year, that is how it looks week to week. But during the summer, it's a totally different process. And as far as preaching styles go, we all have different preaching styles. Father Michael likes to go up with full text and notes. And if you can see this, this is what he brings up with him week to week. All kinds of highlights and notations to know not just what he's delivering, but how he wants to deliver it. So he walks up with this each week and uses this text in front of him. Meanwhile, the rest of us have very different styles. Brian and Tom often will walk up with no table, no notes, and they have it completely from memory. I like to go somewhere in the middle. I write the full message out word for word, but then I pare down to an outline by the time I get up to preach. So we all have a different style. The last thing I want to say about our message preparation is that we spend an average of 20 to 30 hours among all the staff members that are contributing to the message each week for that 15 to 20 minute message. So lots of investment in that because we believe in its importance. That's just a little glimpse behind our messages. That's our table of contents for the liturgy of the word. That's what we're listening to. And now I just want to transition to what we're listening for. We're aiming for everyone to hear the same thing and to respond in the same way. And there's a big challenge in that because we are hearing all the same thing, but we come with such different frequencies for how we hear a message. So how do we get the Annies and the Laurels to listen the same way, even if they're hearing something differently? Because remember, what's most important is not what we hear, but how we listen. Well, Jesus had an answer to that question. In the Gospel of Matthew, he said that hearing the word of God is like a seed being planted. And he told this parable. And the Gospel of Matthew was written for Jews who were intrigued by Jesus but weren't really sure about him. It was written for people that had some church background but really weren't all in on Jesus yet. And if that's you, you're not really a church person, we're glad that you're with us this week. And maybe this reading will help a little bit. It's from the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. So this passage is full of symbols. The first thing to note is that the seed and the sower are the same in each instance. The seed is God's word, and the sower is God. Now, the thing that's different is where that seed falls, and that makes all the difference in the reaction to it. So let's see. There's four instances of how the seed falls and what the result is. The first is that the seed falls on the path, and the birds eat it up. It's got nowhere to grow. Then it falls on rocky ground, but the rocky ground is shallow, and the soil is not deep enough for the word to take root. It falls among thorns, and those thorns end up choking the seed so it can't grow. But the instance that we really want to focus on is the fourth one. That's what we're after. We want to have rich soil so that it can take deep roots and grow. So how do we get there? Where is the rich soil when we're listening to God's word? Well, the good news in this parable is that Jesus explains it for us. A lot of times we'll read a parable and we have to really study it deep to get the symbolism and the cultural impact of what Jesus is saying. Here, he doesn't want it to be misunderstood, so he explains the whole thing. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. Now notice that even as the seed falls on the path, as it falls among thorns, or as it falls in the shallow ground, it's heard every time. The word is always heard. What we're after is not hearing the word. That's not where rich soil is found. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. And here's the instance that we really want to pay attention to. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. So this whole thing is like a science experiment. All of the variables here are fixed so that they're the same in every instance. The seed is the same. The sower is the same. In each instance, the person hears the word. And in fact, when we come to Mass every week, we all hear the word. But what's most important is not what we hear, but how we listen. Jesus points out the pitfalls here. One person has no understanding. Another person, it just is choked. There's no roots. And then when we go out into the world, we're not going to have protection from the brokenness that surrounds us. That word has no chance to grow because it's choked by the thorns. So how do we prevent all of that? Because I'll be honest, sometimes I come to Mass and I feel like the seed is planted on the path in me, that it's planted in the shallow soil or among the thorns. Sometimes I come to Mass and I feel like I'm just hearing and I'm not listening. So what's the secret? Would you be surprised to know that the secret is simple? It's so simple, in fact, that you might even dismiss it offhand when I tell you what it is. Now, don't confuse simple with easy. It's not easy. We have to work at it. The work of the people. The secret, though, the secret to great listening, especially when it comes to this part of the Mass. Are you ready for it? We'll come back next week. We'll tell you all about it. No, I'll tell you about it now. I won't make you wait until next week. The key is this. Listening is hearing with heart. Listening is hearing with heart. Because here's what happens. We hear through our ears, and the first place that it goes is to our brain. And we interpret it in there, but then it has to take the longest journey from the human head to the human heart. And that journey is where the rich soil is found. That's the journey that we want to be making. That's where the word becomes rooted. So whether you're tuned in or tuned out at a particular Mass, no matter if the readings and the message resonate with you, no matter if you have a distraction, no matter if you're a Laurel or a Yanni, no matter what you hear, what makes the difference is how you listen and apply it. That's hearing with heart. And you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound simple. You just told me that this was going to be simple. But really, it is simple. When we plant the seed, we have to help it grow. You don't just throw seed out in your garden and expect it to grow. No, you have to pick the right place for it to get the right amount of sun. You have to water it. You have to weed around it. You have to take care of it. You have to work at it. We need to be working on ourselves to be able to hear God's word. We need to be checking our own egos. We need to be thinking about the things that prevent us from listening well. It's asking questions like these. What questions do I have about God, the church, or faith that are in the back of my head that keep me from listening well? What reservations do I keep? What in my life am I preoccupied with? What's going to distract me? And we have plenty of distractions when I walk into Mass today. What would keep me from taking up the challenge that I'm going to be given today? Because we like to always give a challenge within the message. What excuses am I already formulating in the back of my head to say, nah, that's not for me. I'm not the one that he's talking to today. These are tough questions. If we really dive deep on them, we will be able to listen at Mass with fresh perspective. So that's what I'm going to invite you to do this week, is to take these questions into your quiet prayer time. 5, maybe 10 minutes. Take them into prayer time. Discuss them this week so that we can come and listen in a new way to God's word and let the seed take root within us. And we'll put these questions up at the end of Mass today, at the end of the message. But also, if you want to get them right now, you want to have them with you for the rest of the week, we have a way that you can do that really easily. Grab your phone, send us a text message right now. Text the word LISTEN to 410-216-5534. If you do that, you'll get an automatic reply with those questions so that you can reflect on them this week. 5 or 10 minutes, all that it would take. But it would help us to see with fresh eyes. It would help us to make the head-heart connection. Really, hearing with heart is removing those barriers that confront the word as it moves from our head to our heart. And we want to be able to take up our mission that God is giving us, no matter what our circumstances are. So I just want to share one last thing. In the last couple of weeks, I introduced a phrase that we hear at Mass a total of 4 times. And that phrase, we heard it in the introductory rites first. We're going to hear it in the Liturgy of the Word right before the gospel is read. And this is the phrase that was used by angels and prophets to invite individual people into the dangerous mission that God was giving them. God is inviting us into that same mission when we hear that phrase. It brings us back in Mass to hear again. That phrase is, "The Lord be with you." And we hear it right before the gospel because our mission is becoming increasingly dangerous over the course of the Mass. The gospel. What's dangerous about that, you might ask? Well, it's dangerous because we're hearing about the life and the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus, well, he turned his world upside down. And he is going to turn our world upside down if we listen to him. God is speaking through that gospel, through that message. But it's not for the faint of heart. So, if you're ready not only to hear, but to listen and respond, well, the Lord be with you. You may never be the same.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.